Welcome, everybody. I can't do it like Ray does. You do it.
Ray, we're live.
We're live from, and welcome.
From West Virginia and Bethesda. And I think we have a special guest who might be joining us today, Kimberly. How about that?
Oh, that would be great. I love special guests, Zach. Do we have any idea who it might be?
Could be my father. Will tell. We'll see if he's able to change his settings around. We're having more technical issues. If you were with us yesterday, we ran into some computer updates that caused issues. We're back for round two of that today. So always fun, always eventful here at Car Edge. Looks like we might have our guest ready to go. Can I get a thumbs up from the green room before we pull our guest in? He pulled himself in.
Okay. Woohoo!
Go ahead. Ask me if I'm pissed. Go ahead. Ask me. Can I throw an F-bomb on our show today?
No, Justice. You can't.
Jeez.
How you doing, Pops?
Miserable.
Oh, I know. I know, but let me explain. The thing is, listening to the two of you, I told Zach sounds exactly like me and my son. Exactly verbatim. And thank heavens you have got the most patient son. We both do. I mean, Zach's not my son, but I have a patient son too.
Yes.
That helps walk me through this, acting as if there's no care in the world. So...
And there you go, Pops. I'm going to join you in the St. Patrick's Pride. Kimberly's got green. You can't get your camera to work with your green screen. So there you go. I'll remove background. And yeah, here we are. Now let's kick the show off, okay? Because the folks tune in for the two of you and your insights. We're going to start today's show with Ford pissing off their dealers, which is actually kind of new for them. You know, they typically they just piss off their
this
customers.
Is a new thing for them?
Typically, they just piss off their customers.
Do it. Yeah.
We've got 29 dealers, and this headline doesn't actually do it justice. 29 dealers dropped out of Ford's elite level Model E program, and another 53 dropped out of the certified elite level of their Model E program. Kimberly Pops, we are in a moment in time where Ford and other automakers are trying to push dealers out of the way a little bit, try and change the way that they work with their dealer groups, and you've got all these dealerships getting pissed and quitting the program, and quite frankly, taking legal actions to try and make sure that they can maintain and do what they do. Kimberly, I know you had a chance to look this over. Are you surprised at what we're seeing?
I'm not surprised, and I want to remind everybody that Ray did kind of predict this from day one when it came to this new model introduction, and he said, some are going to fall out. Not everybody's going to stick with this, and that's exactly what we're seeing now. Ford knew this was going to happen, too. This should be no surprise to anyone. What do you think, Ray?
Well, when you come up with a master plan, that is at best a fluid master plan, and you're asking your dealers to sign up for either like $600,000 investment or I don't know, $1.2 million investment. And it's a fluid plan, and they sign up, and then, you change the plan. Some of those dealers are going to go, no, I'm not investing that kind of money, especially if you're not in the elite program and you're asked to invest $600,000 so that you can get your hands on 25 electric vehicles.
Count them.
Yeah. Two a month that you can, and from what everybody says, there's no margin built into the car. And there's no service built into the car because they don't require as much maintenance. The only thing you could hope for as a dealer is that they are as big a piece of poo as the rest of the cars that they come out with. And there's a recall every other week. And so you can make some money doing recall repairs.
Well, that shouldn't be a problem, but Ray, don't they have a stand? Don't they have to build a standalone as well? Right.
I don't think you have to build a standalone, but you have to have a certain number of electric charging stations for the public. They will allow you, I think, to separate the showroom without having to do a standalone facility. Because if they were going to tell dealers that you have to invest anywhere from $600,000 to $1.2 million, and you have to have a separate facility for it, the number of dealers that signed up probably would have been zero.
Yeah, for some reason I thought that they had to have a standalone as well in the very beginning, but yeah, this is not surprising. I mean, what do you think, Zach? Do you think it's a surprise? I don't.
I think we're seeing the evolution of Ford try and come out and be, you know, the decisive, high conviction, we're going into the future. You know, this was the article from back on September 14th. Ford dealers must set no haggle prices, invest up to $1.2 million to keep selling EVs. Ford told dealers they have to set no haggle prices on EVs and follow other new standards aimed at competing with direct sales rivals such as Tesla. And like you were both discussing, they actually had provided dealers with, where was it? Right here. Dealers have until October 31st to opt into one of the two EV certification tiers. And then we know Ford had meetings with their dealers and they ended up extending the amount of time that they were allowing their dealers to determine if they wanted to do this, because there would be, if I'm not mistaken, guys, keep me honest, it's like once every 2 or 3 or 4 years you have the chance to get into this program. And here are the numbers. You know, they had 1,891 retailers are now enrolled in the Model E program. That's down 1.5% from the 1,920 that originally signed up. Enrollment in the most expensive certified elite tier, the $1.2 million investment, fell by 53 to 1,606, while opt-ins for the lower price certified tier increased 24 to 285. These are not all of their dealers. Far from it. And we see, for example, here what's going on in North Carolina. 46 dealers in North Carolina filed a petition challenging the program. We also have legal action in New York and Illinois. It's the same thing going on there. The dealers are alleging the voluntary program is illegal since it would prohibit those who do not opt in from selling EVs in the future, not pleased with the sales practices, et cetera. Yeah. So Kimberly, I think Ford tried to move quickly and with conviction. And at the moment in time when they did that, it was really kind of awe-inspiring. It was like, holy cow, are they really going to do this? Are they really going to get rid of dealers? They're really going to move in this direction. And now we're seeing all of the ramifications of that and how challenging it'll actually be to do it. And I think it's just the beginning. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more and more dealers pull out and join these state dealer association legal actions and dealer group actions. And I think the real test of this will be once one of the big publics does something. Will they put out a statement that says we're opposed or not in alignment? If Lithia came out or Asbury came out or Penske came out or whoever it is came out and said, we don't agree with how they're doing this. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a big chink in the armor for Ford.
Well said, chink in the armor. Which kind of leads into the Mississippi thing. I found that fascinating. I really did.
What's going
I found
on that in Mississippi, Kimberly?
Down in Mississippi right now. The Mississippi governor signed a bill putting new restrictions on how EV manufacturers can sell. And Mississippi is not happy about it either, Zach. A Mississippi bill aimed at preventing EV manufacturers from bypassing franchise dealers to sell their vehicles has been signed into law. That's pretty big, you guys. That's pretty darn big. The new law prohibits vehicle manufacturers from owning, operating, or controlling their own dealerships, though it does carve out an exception to that restriction for an existing Tesla outlet in the state, because they do have a grandfather clause. That exception is capped at one location.
Yeah. You know, I have a grandfather clause as well. I just don't have any grandchildren.
What I have mixed emotions about this. I really do. And I'm trying to step back and take a look at it. Because, you know, Mississippi, I kind of went down a tiny rabbit hole. Do remember that old adage of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I know that we sold as a dealership group to a lot of politicians, being outside of D.C., lots and lots of politicians, and they all scratch each other's backs. And I found that in Mississippi, one of the largest auto groups was just bought by an Arkansas group. But in 2022, the automotive industry, which I can only imagine equals dealerships, contributes to political campaigns. The whole big scene that I have here in my head is that certainly they don't want manufacturers to come in and start selling directly to the consumer. They want the dealership model to be upheld the way it's always been.
Yeah, it seems to me that the state legislature and the governor have decided that they will side with dealers so that dealers can continue to do business as usual. And by doing that, they're actually punishing the consumers within the borders of Mississippi. So they have basically said, we don't care if it's going to be better or easier or more transparent for the consumers because, well, they're not donating as much money to our campaigns as these dealer groups are. There are 200 franchise dealerships in Mississippi. So they've decided that they've aligned themselves with those 200 dealers, mm-hmm. and the hell with Mississippi citizens. That's really what it boils down to. And I can appreciate why dealers wouldn't want the manufacturers to sell direct. I get it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's to leave things as it is doesn't mean that you're ever benefiting the customers and the consumers within the state. So it is a law that without fear or favor straight up says we're aligned with business. The hell with you is the customer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says to me.
I mean, me too. It's old age. It's old adage. Now listen, Ray, and this is a little side note. We do know that some of these larger dealerships have given back to their communities over time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So yes, that happens. But that's not to say that manufacturers can't do the same thing. Of course they can. They can come in. They can, you know, root themselves into community and give mm-hmm. back as well. Just thinking outside the box a little bit.
I do want to pull in one thing though, which is a piece of research we did last year. Pops and Kimberly, Justin did it. How did dealerships become so powerful in America? This is an article. It's a long read, but it's a worthy read. And it just talks about how entrenched in local governments and in federal government the auto dealer lobbying groups are. And so you look at a state like Mississippi and they might only have a couple hundred, you know, franchise car dealerships, new car franchise dealerships. The lobby, I am sure the Mississippi Automobile Dealers Association is quite strong. I would be very surprised if it wasn't. And this article does a great job explaining where those political contributions are going, how many senators and folks in the House of Representatives end up getting money from the National Automobile Dealers Associations and state associations. And the reason I bring that up is because this is in direct connection to the Ford news. Ford and other OEMs are looking to do these things where their relationship with dealers looks different and multiple states, not just Mississippi. The fact that this law was signed in, you know, it makes it, you know, good news for today, good news, relevant news for today, but it's happening in other states just as well. And these are legacy businesses digging their heels in to make sure that I'm not saying that car dealers are cockroaches, but they are trying to position their business to be like a cockroach. Doesn't matter what happens, they're going to be around. That is what they're trying to do. And the investment in lobbying, the investment in influencing at local government level, that is what we're seeing happen so that no matter what, if consumers want change, if Ford wants change, they won't be able to get it because you know what? The rules protect them. The laws protect them. That's what this says to me.
It also says to me that and this comes as no surprise, that most politicians can be bought and sold. And that is at the heart of what goes on, whether it be on a local, state, or federal level. If I don't know how naive we have to be as a people to think that our elected officials are actually out there trying to do what's best for us. Okay. They're actually out there trying to do what's best for them. What's going to put the most money in their pockets, not what's going to improve the lives of the people we've been elected to serve. So I think that's a big part of the problem. And you know, I mean, we're an auto show. So I probably should steer away from politics, but the sad reality is that the automotive industry is as intertwined with the political network in this country as anything is, maybe even more so than a lot of other businesses. And as long as politicians are bought and paid for, and they are, and you got to be foolish to think that they're not. If I give $25, it's not the same as when a dealer gives you $50,000. They ain't listening to my $25 worth, but they're going to listen to that $50,000 worth. So it doesn't surprise me in the least that we continue to see businesses being protected and consumers being left behind, whether it be Mississippi or New Jersey, wherever it is. I mean, those who contribute the most are going to see to it that their interests are taken care of.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't think it's an, I think it's an afterthought with consumers, just how big. I mean, yes, they feel the effect directly for when they go to buy a car and how miserable it can be. But I sometimes think that they don't see the big picture of just how large and how much revenue these dealerships generate. You're talking a huge, the dealerships.
Sales taxes. Thinking of the amount of sales taxes that are collected on behalf of states and cities and counties and everything else. And so when you're looking at that amount of money, do the states really want to upset that apple cart?
Right. $400 million in annual revenue, the largest dealership in Mississippi generated in 2022.
That's a lot. So Kimberly, does this not touch on the other topic that's hot this week? The Automotive News survey of their dealer group about FTC proposed rule changes that are coming down the pike. It's the same thing. There's these rule changes to make buying a car more transparent, more fair. It's all the stuff that we try and do. And the FTC's, trying to push for that as well. And we have massive pushback. And then again, we have millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in lobbying going on to make sure that these things never actually come to fruition. It's the same story, just a different chapter, right?
I think so. When you start tearing down, yes, an extent, yes. But when you start tearing down some things, I have a hard time with them. And do you mind if I throw a couple out there?
Go for it.
From the FTC. Part of their proposal is to ban all products without benefit. Well, they're all going to have benefit. They're easily going to be able to show, well, here's the benefit of this product and here's the benefit of that product. Okay, so to me, scratch that. Posting a list of all optional ads on their prices online. Yes, they definitely should do that. But any ads would have to offer the website link to that list. And if the price of the F&I products varied, dealerships could instead post a range that the typical consumer would apply. I would like to see the exact price.
Not a range.
I want to see the exact price. Add-ons are defined as anything sold by the dealership, not provided by the automaker, which people get confused by, including intangible F&I coverages. Look for the contract. For example, disclosure and declination in writing of the cash price without optional add-ons. It's already non-compliant if you're not showing the consumer what the price of their car is with add-ons, what the price of the car is without add-ons. If you don't disclose that and have the consumer sign it, you're non-compliant. You can get fined $10,000 a day. So that already exists. They need to enforce it. There's just some things when you really start tearing this apart, I just wish that they would enforce it right now. Go back. Where are you? I said this when it first came out.
Huge plus one. There are already rules on the books that could enforce these things. It feels like maybe a bit of a PR stunt to have these new proposals. And there's some things that are new about them, but also these rules already exist in different forms. One question for you, Kimberly. I don't know if I agree on the products without benefit. And we have some comments in the chat coming through, you know, nitrogen tires for $300. And I like to think of the one of gap coverage when it makes absolutely no financial sense to have gap.
Okay.
Coverage, like on a lease that has gap built in, for example, because we know these things can and sadly do happen. So I think those are the two examples that come to mind for me on products with no benefit.
Right. And so for gap, most lenders cannot and will not allow gap coverage on a loan to value under 80%. They can't do it. And the finance manager dealership, they get in trouble if they do. So they get slapped by that. Nitrous tires. I mean, I agree with you, Zach. I agree with you, but I'm saying they're going to come out and say, oh, yes, here's the benefit. You see, your tires aren't going to go flat now whenever the weather changes or whatever nonsense it is.
Yeah,
they will provide that.
Somebody might see value in it. So that, yes, to say that you can't sell things that don't have value, well, who gets to define what has or has no value? That's and I understand what you're saying, Zach. I do.
Yeah.
Because
there's
a lot of crap that's pushed on the customers in the finance office. And some of it's pushed on the customers without the customer even knowing it, because the finance manager just built it into the payment without really actually disclosing it. But who's going to be the authoritative voice that says this has some value, this has no value? You know, nitrogen at $49, nitrogen tire fill at $49, somebody might find that valuable. Window etch, for example. Window etch at $20, somebody might find value in it. Now, at $499, you'd be hard-pressed to find the value in it. So,
I
get that point. I'm more concerned with, there shouldn't be a range of pricing for, like, if you want dent and ding on a car, okay?
Right.
Well, it should have nothing, that price should have nothing to do with your knowledge of the product. It should, if you're selling dent and ding, it should be available to everybody at the same damn price. If it's $499, it's $499. Not it's $499 for me, and it's $899 for somebody else, because they're not knowledgeable enough to know that, you know, it really probably isn't worth more than a couple hundred bucks. But that's the thing. If you allow dealers to have ranges on those things, that will allow the dealers to take advantage of those who don't have as clear an understanding as to what the value of some of these things might really be. So I would think, you know, if somebody's looking at a Chevy Silverado and they want dent and ding, well, it doesn't matter if I'm smart or dumb. It's $399. Now, if somebody's looking at a Suburban and it's a much bigger vehicle, and so the cost of it's slightly more, maybe it's $499. It's $499 whether I'm a smart customer or a dumb customer. It shouldn't matter. That's one of my major concerns, is that there shouldn't be a spread. There should just be a price.
I hear you. I hear you both. I'm just, like, to be very honest, I understand that angle of the FTC rule probably get pushback in lawsuits and will get appealed and things like that. I'm still, until that happens, and even after that happens, going to be on the side of the consumer shouldn't even have the option to purchase the extended warranty on a lease. Because we've heard those stories too.
Yeah.
Someone signs a 3-year lease and they also bought the extended warranty, which makes literally no sense, because while you leased it for 3 years, it has the manufacturer's coverage.
I worked with an F&I manager, and she probably sold extended warranties on about 50% of the leases that we did. And the rationale that she used for the customers were, well, you know, if you want to sell this at the end of the lease, to sell it with an extended warranty on it means it's going to be worth more. And people fell for it.
Nice.
Okay, so I always offer, now, by compliance, we must offer it 100% of the time to 100% of the customers. However, I would always present it along the lines of, do you think you're going to buy this vehicle out at the end? Is this something that you think you might pass on to a child? Because if so, then you go home and you think about it. I'll hold this price for you. And then you just let me know. You're not going to be able to wrap it into your lease payment today, but take your time and think about it. Why? Because that's how extended warranties are built, Zach. We all know this. The price and the choice of term is based on time and miles of the vehicle. So get it when it's cheapest. But if you get into your lease and you think, man, I love this car. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to buy it out at the end. I'm going to keep it. Well, then you might want to get an extended warranty.
I know, but I think there's a lot of edge cases for why you might want to do the things. Like everything both of you just described is an edge case to me. The majority of cases are I shouldn't be buying NitroFill in general. I shouldn't be buying that gap coverage in general, whether it's illegal or legal for them to even be doing it. Same thing with the extended warranty on a lease. What you guys are describing to me are edge cases, and I actually think the FTC rules would be an overstep by the federal government, but the proper overstep for an industry that desperately needs some regulation. And to be clear, to your point earlier, Kimberly, they already have damn rules on the books, just enforcement. And we saw last year a lot of enforcements. We really did. We saw the Napleton enforcement, the Coons enforcement.
True.
We've had plenty of dealers reach out to us and say, hey, you got to update pricing on CarEdge.com because we're getting audited. So like we're seeing it. We're hearing it. I just kind of wish there was even more because it's unfortunate when we hear the horror stories of people who end up getting taken advantage of indeed. And they don't realize it. You know, those are the really difficult ones. So the ones where we can actually help are great. The ones where someone comes to us after the fact, those are the sad ones because
you're right.
We can't really do too much.
You're absolutely right. Yes. I'm buried in this vehicle. How do I get out of it?
So we've got a show on Car Edge Electric coming up in only 15 minutes. We're going to have to be kind of quick here. I do want to let everyone know that back at CarEdge.com, we've started our St. Patrick's Day promotion, and it's on both our car buying products. So if you need help getting a car, we can help you with 25% off. That's our coach and our data products. And also on the extended warranties on the vehicle service contracts, we are doing $100 off. I know that person.
What?
$100 off on the extended warranty and on the tech warranty. The thing I am most proud of when it comes to our extended warranty, the vehicle service contract, is nowhere on here to get a quote, do you have to give us any of your information? What a novel concept. If you actually want to get a quote, you can just get a doggone quote. You don't have to give us your phone number. You don't have to give us your email. You don't have to give us anything.
No.
You'll be able to see what the price of a quote is and obviously all of the different term options as well. And folks, if you want to see the contract, you don't even have to look that hard. Just click on view coverage details and then you can view the contract right here. So please, 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 whether it's the extended warranty or you're interested in the ways that we can help you with our CarEdge coach, CarEdge data, we've got the promotions going on between now and the end of the month. So please take advantage of that. Now, Pops, Kimberly, I know, Dad, you've got a show in 15 minutes. Kimberly, you got a win from the week. And Pops, do you have a win from the week? And we can wrap there.
Pops, go first.
Technology. I hate it. I don't have a win. I have a loss.
That's not a win. That's not a win.
Well, I just must say, I don't have a win. Damn it. I have aggravation and misery because of technology.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Ray.
But I did get my new fridge today. So that's a win.
Oh, Kimberly, you got a win. That fridge looks great, by the way.
Thank you.
So my win is for Renee in the community. So because Renee, I don't know, we've just been kind of going back and forth and back and forth together. And we were talking about forced financing and how can we get around it? How can I pay cash? A lot of people ask me this. How can I just pay cash without getting tried, you know, forced into financing, and we got around it. She's looking at a Mazda. You guys, Mazdas have really great APR. So if you're a cash buyer and you're looking at a Mazda, they've got a 0.9 going on some of their models. Wow. So take a look at that. And so that's my win. Yay, Renee, you go get him, girl.
And I want to give you a quick shout out, Kimberly. We have in Deal School 3.0. So if you're not on Deal School back on the community forum, you gotta be. If I'm not mistaken here, we're about to see outside financing and paying cash. The beautiful thing about Deal School, all the lessons are organized. Videos are there for you. Key takeaways. You even have the PDF downloads, and there are quizzes built into this, folks. So please, if you are not in Deal School, you need to get in Deal School. That's part of Car Edge Coach. You can get access to it. So please go use Deal School. It's a great resource to answer all those questions. For example, how do I pay cash? We had a contribution come in here from Shilas. Thank you. Ray, you don't need a new fridge. You're already too cool.
Well, that's too nice of you. Trust me.
I love that. You're already too cool, Ray.
I'll share my quick win.
School, I'll tell you that.
That is true. I'll share my quick win. Had a conversation with a company the other day, and what they do is they work with states on the registration data to pull that in, and then they give it to other people. And I found a way for us to get the actual transaction price on a VIN-specific level and at a dealer-specific level. And so when I saw that, my gears started spinning, because imagine you're on CarEdge.com and you're looking to buy that Mazda and you want to know what other similar Mazdas have sold for year, make, model, trim, and at that dealership, we will be able to. It's going to take us months. It's going to take us time because our roadmap is very full. But I see a path for us to be able to, from the state registration data, tell you what other people at that dealership paid for the same exact car.
No way.
And that will, yes way. And this, it's the single source of truth, Kimberly. It's from the state registration. Not every state does it. So we're going to have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But imagine that. And it's not TrueCar BS. No offense, TrueCar, but your numbers are BS. They serve dealers. This is just literally coming from the state registration. I'm getting really jacked. I'm really excited. It's going to take us a couple months to build that out. But imagine how cool that would be.
That's a win. So cool. That's a really great win.
Yeah. Really, and we have the window really sticker stuff that hopefully in like the next couple weeks should be out. So yeah, we got a lot of really good things. I'm really proud of the team right now.
I wish everybody could see our roadmap.
Well, maybe we'll put it on the community forum. So, okay, Pops, go get ready for the show. Go get ready for the show. I don't know how to get ready for the show.
You got to help me with the technology aspect of
this. Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone. Happy Irish Day.
Happy Saving of the Green.
Saving of the Green.
Gold. See you guys. Thank you. Happy Friday.
Yes. We'll see you all back here Monday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, or 8 a.m.